It is All Things Considered. I'm Dave Lawrence, and very special guest joining us. Last time I got a chance to talk with him, he was actually doing Helping Hand for the Homeless in our HBR Atherton Performing Arts Studio. Now he is back through Wednesday at the Blue Note featuring cellist Josh Nakazawa, Jake Shimabukuro, and a huge aloha and mahalo to you, my brother.
Hey, thank you. It's great to see you. And it's nice to be out, you know, out of the studio and all that. This is different, right? So, yeah, no, but thanks for coming out. Thanks for supporting the show. And like you mentioned, you know, I'm so glad that event was so successful. And, you know, we had such a great turnout. And so thank you, man. That was all you and Hawaii Public Radio, man.
I feel so much closer to you after having done something like that. It's like, it's a real bonding experience.
Yeah, well, it took a while to put together. So yeah, so it was fantastic. But thanks for being here at the Blue Note, man. You mentioned Josh Nakazawa. He's the full-time cellist with the Hawaii Symphony. So this was our first official show. We had a wonderful time.
Because of that collaborative aspect, I was looking at your resume of some of the cats you've gotten to work with. I'll mention some names to you. Jimmy Buffett.
Well, you know, Jimmy Buffett was here tonight. He came to the show. He had to leave a little early, but we're actually heading out to Australia in about a week. We're doing the Byron Bay Blues Festival, so I'll be with him out there. I wanted to say, hey, would you want to come up and sing a tune or something? You
know? That would have been gigantic.
I know. He was relaxing. I think he wanted to stay kind of low-key, so... Yeah, I toured with Jimmy Buffett and the Coral Reefers for about 3 years. They did a show in Hawaii. I mean, this was over 10 years ago. Mac McAnally, his guitar player, he had seen some of my YouTube videos and mentioned my name to Jimmy. Actually, it's a funny story. When they came to Hawaii, I was doing this interview in a surf shop, you know, in Waikiki. And so my name was on the schedule and he was shopping and he saw my name and he asked the manager, is Jake Shubukuro coming in today, you know? And then so the guy said, yeah, he'll be here in about an hour. So apparently he had to leave, but he wrote a note for me on the back of a Whalers. The Whalers were playing in town. And so he wrote his note on the back of this of their flyer. And he was like, hey, Jake, this is Jimmy Buffett. Love your stuff. And I'm doing a show at the Shell. Would love if you could come down. I couldn't believe it. I thought they were playing a joke on me. You know, I had a phone number. So I called the number and Mike Ramos, who's his right-hand man, answered and said, Jake, yeah, we've been waiting for your call. You know, Jimmy wants to invite you to the show and he wants you to sit in. And that's how that started. After the show, he was like, you want to go on tour with us? And I said, sure. And I went on tour with them for like 3 years.
Bette Midler.
Yeah, with Bette Midler, it was actually through Jimmy Buffett. Jimmy and Bette are good friends, of course. And when I was touring with Jimmy, I remember we were in Vegas. We were doing a show at the MGM. Jimmy, when he showed up to soundcheck, he looked at me and he said, I just had lunch with my friend Bette Midler. I told her all about you, you know, and she said she wants to do something with you. And I said, what? So don't be surprised if you get a call. Maybe 6 months or 8 months later, I got a call from her manager. She was going to do a show in England. She wanted to bring me along and do a couple of duets.
That wasn't the one for the Queen.
That was the one for the Queen. So that was our first show together. She flew me out to LA. We had a rehearsal. Then we flew up to England and we did that show. And the coolest thing after the show, we got to meet the Queen. I got to shake her hand and have a few words with her. And it was just really amazing. And then after that, another 6 months later, she was finishing up her big show in Vegas. For her very last show, she invited me to come out and close the show with her.
Which is your favorite, playing there in Vegas to end her residency or playing for QE2?
Yeah, well, you know,
I guess the answer is pretty clear. Any particular memories of interacting with Queen Elizabeth?
Oh, yeah, definitely. Well, I just remember when the producer of the show, we were all lined up backstage, right, to meet the Queen. And he said that, just remember three things. You're not allowed to shake her hand first. You have to wait until she extends her hand to you. The second thing was, you're not allowed to speak first. And then the third thing he said was, because it was just a very casual meeting, he said, you don't have to bow or curtsy or anything like that. But, you know, I guess it's the Japanese in me, because as soon as she walked into the room, I was the only one, like, I looked like a chicken. I was bowing my head, you know, just couldn't stop bowing.
That's a good story right there. Ziggy Marley.
The way that I met him, this was, again, about 7 or 8 years ago. He had contacted me because he was working on his Love Is My Religion. Right. And he had this one song that he wrote inspired by being on a beach in Hawaii, right? So I think at first he contacted my booking agent. They told me, hey, Ziggy's working on a new record. And he's got this song that was inspired by the islands. And he wants you to play some ukulele on it. So I was like, are you serious?
No brainer.
Like the Ziggy Marley. Ziggy flew me out to LA, invited me to his home studio where he wanted me to track the thing. And I just remember, man, I was so nervous.
Plus for a drug-free dude to be hanging with the king of ganja, the king of ganja's son.
No, it was total clean recording.
I believe it. Just saying it was incongruous to some.
Yeah, yeah. I went in there and he said, I'll play the track for you. You know, he played the track for me and I listened to it. I was like, what are you hearing? You know, you want me to play some rhythm stuff here? And he was like, yeah, you know, just do your thing. In what section I want you to play a solo and then just some fills. And he said, yeah, so you record. I'm going to leave the room. And so a funny story, the vocals weren't laid down yet, right? I play my thing and comes back. He listens to it. He's like, yeah, that's great. He goes, yeah, I'll lay the other stuff over and then I'll send it to you. So I left his house and I flew back home. And then I remember when he sent me the track. I was like, oh, I can't wait to hear it. I'm listening to it. And the words, it's all about smoking
herbs,
marijuana, right? You know, in Hawaii. And I just remember like just cringing and just like, you know, because here I am working with the DARE program. And I'm always very expressive about being drug free. I've been drug free my whole life. And, you know, I'm always talking with kids about being drug free. And here I am playing on a song that's about, you know, smoking marijuana and all that. So, but it's cool. I mean, it's... I think that was a great lesson for me, you know, to make sure that I get a copy of the lyrics before I play on any track. But, you know, but it was all cool. And you know, I think that people understand.
It's a great story. And Yukari, in the future, get the lyrics from that. Jake Shimabukuro and Blue Note Run happening now. Always a pleasure to have you on ATC with me. I'm wishing you a lot of luck. Have fun with Jimmy. Great to see you.
Thank you. I appreciate it. Thank you. Aloha.
To